All right, you guys, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that the Right Side Way is daily brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, a 30-year veteran of the practice of law. And yeah, Stan McDonald, longtime conservative, is your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. Okay, so let me just say, this morning, he went there. He being none other than the irritant-in-chief, Governor Gavin Newsom, the smarmy beta male who presides over one of the greatest wastes of national resources and abuses of humanity called the state of California. So, yeah, this morning he went there. He posted that the state of Alabama, in his opinion, has a higher crime rate than California. Yeah. He posted it on X with his stern look. You know, the one that says, I'm trying to be a tough guy, but I don't know how, so I'm overplaying it because I'm a drama queen. Look. He posted it with his image right alongside Governor Kay Ivey, which I admit is not a huge confidence builder herself, but she doesn't lie about other states to make herself look good, I can say that. Immediately after he posted it, within just a short time, Katherine Robertson, who's been on the show most recently, she's the Deputy Attorney General for Alabama. She's also currently one of the leading candidates for Attorney General herself. She responded by saying, and here's her quote, quote, crime rates in Alabama are high in Democrat-led cities, which have a difficult time retaining and recruiting law enforcement officers. She said, officers don't want to work in the most dangerous areas of our state when they question whether city leadership will have their backs. And there you have it. Democrat-run cities, Democrat-run states. Gavin Newsom wants you to believe that California is tough on crime, just like Alejandro Mayorkas wanted you to believe the border was secure. Yeah, while millions of people streamed across it. Democrats will lie, y'all. They do. Democrats will lie. If their lips are moving, they're lying. They do it every single day. And then you look at the way Democrat-run cities actually handle things that happen that involve crime. Like, remember Daniel Penny? Daniel Penny, the former Marine who was on a New York subway when a violent, mentally disturbed homeless man began threatening passengers in the train car. The actual criminal was the homeless guy named Jordan Neely. He had over 40 arrests on his record. 40! He was fresh out of Rikers Island Detention Center, where he had been put for punching an old woman in the face and breaking her nose. He habitually harassed subway riders. That fateful day, Daniel Penny and others heard him yelling that someone on the train was going to die. Well, Penny intervened. He took Neely down along with the help of several others, by the way, and Penny held him in a chokehold till police arrived, again with the help of other passengers. But Neely died, and Penny was put on trial for manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. A post-mortem toxicology indicated that Neely had narcotics in his system which may well have caused his death. And during that time frame, by the way, 27 people were actually murdered on New York subways. In fact, as much as they scream about Donald Trump using the National Guard, don't forget that during that time frame, it got so bad with crime on the New York subways that liberal Governor Kathy Hochul actually deployed her National Guard to the New York subway stations. But yeah, in the wake of all of that, Alvin Bragg, the Soros-backed DA, wouldn't let go of the case, and the Good Samaritan, the former Marine who saved lives and intervened with the help of others, was actually put on trial. The justice system was turned on its head. Well, praise God, Daniel Penny was actually acquitted, but that, my friends, is a Democrat-run city, and that's what we see everywhere. You may also recall the story from 2023 when two employees of a Lululemon store in Atlanta lost their jobs because they reported a robbery. So here's the story as we know it. Two employees of a Lululemon store in Peachtree Corners in Atlanta were terminated after they confronted two young thugs who were wearing hoodies and face masks, and they were brazenly loading up their arms with merchandise and walking out the door in broad daylight. It was apparently not the first time this had happened. We've all seen the videos of criminals treating retail stores like a cheap buffet, loading up what they want and walking out with impunity. Well, these two women did what? Well, they yelled at them to stop, they videoed them in the act, and they called 911. And they were terminated because apparently Lululemon has a zero-tolerance policy for intervention. That's intervention? Look, there was a time when zero-tolerance was against the ones committing the crime, not the ones pointing out the crime. And to be honest, there are still places in this country, there are, where no one would be allowed to walk out with a pack of bubblegum without facing some kind of serious street justice, but in liberal bastions around the country, there's been a shift in the dynamic. A shift, disturbingly, towards victimizing the victims, polarizing the police, and mollycoddling the criminals. And right now, the war of words from the left is that Trump is creating tyranny by enforcing the laws and making our nation's capital safer. using the National Guard, which, by the way, like I said, Governor Kathy Hochul did in the subways, using the National Guard and surging federal law enforcement assets. And yet, in doing so, we've seen a dramatic drop in crime of all types in D.C. over the past 2 weeks. I just saw a moment ago that vehicular crime is down 87%. But yet liberals scream and rant that this is draconian, uncalled for, heavy-handed. I got to ask, what is it about liberals that makes them so averse to law enforcement? And I'm sure it's not all liberals. I don't know of any conservatives, though, that are averse to law enforcement. Not at all. The whole defund the police movement, it's rooted in the vast misconception on the left, or outright lie, really, that having fewer police officers on the beat means that somehow our society will be somehow more fair, more equitable, less racist. Come on. Anyone who's ever been on the wrong side of a criminal act knows that if you don't have the means to actually enforce the laws with men and women who are called and trained and equipped to protect and defend, to form that thin blue line between order and disorder, that if we don't have the men and women in blue, then all we truly get is anarchy and grief and suffering. Criminals don't obey laws. They don't. You know, that's the very essence of what it means to be a criminal. What stops bad guys from doing bad things is good guys who are willing to do good things. And that's not hyperbole. That's just common sense. Lululemon, okay, they're a private entity. I get it. Knuckleheads run it, but it's still private. But what about when government actually abdicates its authority to the criminals? Well, one of the primary functions of governments, one of the essential services, is supposed to be providing security for its citizens. And that doesn't always happen these days. Perhaps the prime example right now of how to screw up a beautiful community is the city of Chicago. The Windy City, the city of the big shoulders, one of the greatest cities on earth, being run into the ground right now by liberal policies which include an actual aversion to law enforcement. Despite violent crime statistics that make Baghdad and Mexico City look like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, Chicago leaders are determined to tell Trump to stay out. Just stay out. Mayor Brandon Johnson, who's never led anything in his whole life, is joined by the penultimate blowhard, Governor J.B. Pritzker, in saying that Trump's efforts to stop crime are unwelcome in Chicago. We don't need you here. Yet the Windy City, like many bastions of liberal governance, is losing population as people are fleeing high taxes, corruption, poor schools, and unsafe streets. So between Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker and Democrat Mayor Brandon Johnson, you would think that they would, I don't know, somehow combine to form a plan. I would have hoped to hear the plan would include like additional law enforcement with arrest authority and the backing of the local force for assistance. The ability to actually apply years of quality training and commitment to apprehend, arrest, and detain criminals on the streets of one of America's great cities. The Chicago police force, though, was severely depleted. But no, that's not the liberal way. So what did they do a couple of years ago? Do you remember? In Chicago, with the help of the governor's office and the support of the police skeptical mayor, they deployed so-called peacekeepers. Peacekeepers! Yeah! Deployed them into Chicago's streets. People wearing yellow vests, whose function was to provide so-called essential assistance in de-escalation, conflict resolution, and crisis support. Okay. They were vest-wearing do-gooders in a crime-ridden city of 2.75 million people. That ought to do it. So how'd that work out? Well, one of the peacekeepers was actually arrested for robbing and beating a man while he was wearing his yellow peacekeeper vest, no less. Look, the bottom line is this. Since the inception of this great nation, we have always had the ability to put good law enforcement officers on the streets of our cities and towns. It's an honorable and a much-needed profession. People who are inclined to commit crimes are not likely to respond favorably just to kind words and sensitivity training. They need to know that the true blue is able to back up their words with actions. And at Right Side Radio, we back the blue, the true blue, not some fake rendition of community action wearing yellow vests. I'm talking about the true blue, the men and women of law enforcement. And if the men and women in blue need backup, we ought to send it. Because it should never be about making the streets safer for criminals. We should be about safe quality of life for law-abiding, hard-working, tax-paying citizens. If we're going to be a strong nation, then we cannot punish the good and vilify the police. It doesn't work that way. That's a formula for anarchy. So I say back the blue and do the good. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.